Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
I listened to a lot of music over the break as well, and I had not had any Chicago in the bumper music rotation.
Nice.
So I corrected that for the new year. There's so many little things that I wanted to talk about. Like the Washington Post had a story on Saturday. Fred, I don't know if you saw this, that they were reporting in recent days that the president, the current president, Biden, you know, the guy that stumbles and mumbles, he now feels like he should have stayed in the race and couldn't have won a second term.
Oh, dear.
Right.
Oh, no.
The Washington Post reported, citing multiple anonymous sources. I mean, how we knew he was delusional, but that has to really be delusional. Fred, I talked about my wife getting terrible food poisoning in the opening of the show. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. And I think I had food poisoning one time 30 years ago, but it was nothing like this. It was just kind of an onset. They came in several hours after I ate a Domino's pizza, if I remember correctly. But you had something run through the Bottomer household, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I was down Thursday and Friday and part of Saturday.
Oh, Fred.
Noah and Shane, who were in from out of town. Noah left St. Louis to get back to D.C. and try and get back before he got sick. And he made it back. He didn't get sick on the plane, but once he got back, he got it.
So everybody basically got some sort of virus, right?
Eight of the 20 people that were at our house for Christmas came down with the stomach virus.
You know, one thing that somebody shared with me over the weekend, and I was talking about my food poisoning situation, because there's other things out there, to your point, the RSV's kicking people's butt. Some people are still getting COVID, although ironically, COVID's not that bad. But a physician said to me, you know, we've kind of done this to ourselves, because all the mask wearing and all this other stuff has let people's immune system really get more susceptible to this kind of stuff. So that's interesting. Unfortunately, I think a lot of families were dealing with things like that, where they were, you know, viruses were running their way through the family. But that sucks, Fred. It was like right after Christmas?
Yeah, it was
like 2 days after Christmas?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I spent it alone in the basement.
So this is not related to your health incident, but as I made random notes over the last 10 days, I highlighted this Sopranos-inspired commercial from Fresh Pet in the last hour. Did you see, has anyone seen the trailer for the new show Doc on CBS? Have you seen this one here?
What is your name?
Amy Larson.
What is your occupation?
An attending physician in internal medicine.
You have children?
Katie and Danny.
Yeah. How old are they?
9 Uh-oh. And 7.
Maybe not.
Babe, what's wrong?
We're not together. We got divorced.
Uh-oh.
She has partial retrograde amnesia. She can't remember the last 8 years.
I don't know who I am now, but I wanted to be a doctor my whole life. I won't give that up.
Yeah. I hope she doesn't.
Wait, what?
It's on Fox, actually. It's called Doc. And Sue, if you're not caught up from the trailer there, it tells the story of Dr. Amy Larson. Dr. Amy Larson, played by Molly Parker. I like Molly quite a bit. She lost her memory during a car accident 8 years ago, but she didn't come out of the coma. And her husband divorced her. But she's still a doctor, and she's going to triumphantly return to her rounds on the new show, Doc.
Wait a minute.
Did she have to relearn everything?
She comes out of the coma, doesn't remember she's divorced. Does she remember anything doctor-y?
Because her husband divorced her because she was in the coma.
Oh,
he's like, I'm moving on here. This chick's in a coma. I don't have time for this.
God.
And then all of a sudden she awakens, and everything is different 8 years later. Right?
Oh, yeah.
How dumb does that show look? But you know what? You can't tell me that in a month I'm not going to be reporting that Fox's number one new drama is Doc.
Yeah, it could be.
That's what happened. And then I like this, too, because, we are the home here in St. Louis of the World Chess Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
My friend Rex Sinkfield is behind that. Did you hear the whole thing, Fred? Did you hear this about Magnus Carlsen?
Yeah.
What happened?
So Magnus Carlsen is like, he's like the biggest name, one of the biggest names in chess, right? So he shows up at a tournament in New York City a couple of weeks ago, and he was wearing jeans, and they kicked him out because that was a dress code violation. So the way they described it is in perhaps the most costly opening move of Carlsen's career. The Norwegian grandmaster arrived for his games in the World Rapid Chess Championship on Friday wearing jeans, which the event's dress code prohibits. The International Chess Federation said that Carlsen, the defending champion, was issued a $200 fine and forfeited a round of the tournament when he refused to change. No, he wouldn't do it. In fact, he went back and they made some changes. He kind of won because I guess on Sunday, the International Chess Federation relented and announced that, quote, elegant minor deviations to the dress code would be permitted for the remainder of the event. And then Carlsen said he'd reversed his decision and was suiting up for the Blitz tournament that began on Monday. He goes, I'm definitely playing in jeans tomorrow.
That's why you quit playing chess.
I didn't like the no jeans policy.
Is
Fred,
this
good
a
point.
Broadcast thing? I mean, or is it just, you know, let's respect the game kind of thing?
It's probably a let's respect the game type of thing, right. I had to guess.
I think $200 fine is pretty funny because you think it really just goes to show you the level of chess. I mean, what would happen if, like, you... I mean, we see it now, even when in the NBA or the NFL, where you wear the wrong colored cleats and you get...
All right,
$15,000-$20,000 fines.
Yeah, $200 fine is kind of comical. But you know, people, this is what happened here. Before we had all these other stations in this building, and it was just KMOX. I guess it would have been. Did we have anything else in here, Fred? I don't know. Was Y90 in here at first?
Yeah, okay, we were all here.
Yep.
We didn't pay attention to you guys down here until we moved down here.
Wait a minute. You're talking about the other two new ones down the hall.
But I'm talking about like 13, 14 years ago.
Yeah,
when we moved in here.
Y98, KEZK, 97.1.
Right. No, not 97.1 at first. Yeah. We didn't own that. No, we didn't own those. I'm going back to the pre 97.
Yeah, but we all moved at the same time.
Okay, so then I'm going before that. I'm going pre. I'm pre.
Okay.
I'm right. Going pre move because my point was. Now I can't even tell my story.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
When we had this policy, it was a no jeans policy at KMOX, right, Fred?
Right.
You can't wear jeans. Well, I don't like following rules, so I'm instantaneously wearing jeans. But here's the difference. See, you can wear jeans and a blazer.
Yeah,
or
you can.
You can put a nice polo. But what happened was is then they took away, you know, we're going to do Friday Jean Day. A lot of companies did this, right? Well, then you got people wearing mom jeans from 1978, like Kevin Killeen when he wore jeans. I don't think that was a good look.
Kevin's fault.
So I don't know if Magnus was wearing some stylish jeans or if he was wearing mom jeans, but maybe that
against
was the issue.
Rule is against the rule.
That's actually good. It is funny, though, that they changed the rules for the biggest name in chess. Yeah, How would that happen? Let's do this here.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Hey, we finally watched American Underdog, the Kurt Warner story. I really enjoyed that film. I'm only, what, a year and a half behind?
No, probably like 3 years
behind. Yeah, did you watch it, Fred?
I didn't, but my family saw it and said it was great.
It's really good if you have a chance to watch it.
Good,
I can't remember.
Good plot because it is, it's one of the greatest sports plots of all time. The acting, in my opinion, is so unbelievably cheesy.
Look, you know what? I like that movie, and I'm real tough on sports movies.
Yes.
But I thought it was pretty good just from the whole vibe and feel of it. So I remember when I saw it, and I was late to the game, I told you. So I said, you should watch this, and I think you'll like it. So I'm glad you did.
Yeah, and you were right. All right,
well,
guys.
Well, I mean, if we're being honest.
It is National Buffet Day. Huh?
Hit that bell.
Yeah. Listen, a good one, as we all know, is pure heaven, but a bad one is just a heart-wrenching nightmare, right?
It is.
That's right.
I mean, there is no
in-between. Are there good ones anymore?
Yes.
Okay.
I went to one over the week. In fact, was it yesterday New Year's Day? I'm so confused.
Yes.
Yesterday was New Year's Day.
It is weird, though. I've asked myself that question like three times today, so don't worry about
it. Thank you. We were out at Cottleville. I'll tell you what. I saw somewhere on social media, somebody had put up like a, you know, here's the shot of our buffet, the breakfast buffet, 10 to 1, and it was really good. It was a Mediterranean place in Cottleville. We drove all the way out to Cottleville, and it was excellent.
A Mediterranean place?
Yeah, all Badia Mediterranean. It was so good. And then they put up a video today. They said, thanks to our customers for coming out yesterday. And you could see us for like
Three
quarters of a second.
No, wait, did I understand that you went there specifically because you saw something online?
Yes, I absolutely did. I saw it on Facebook, and this woman had said, and then the Cottleville mayor had put out, hey, if you are looking for a place, this place is open. And it was delicious.
And it's a charming little bedroom community, right?
Yes.
I don't even know what that means, but it is charming.
This part was just kind of a strip mall part of Cottleville, not the cute part.
It wasn't quite as charming, but it was still good.
But the restaurant was good. did you guys hear this? Puerto Rico.
I was in the tacky part of Cottleville, but no, it was good.
It wasn't tacky. It was, well, maybe. Puerto Rico had a massive power outage on New Year's Eve, as in the whole island just went blank. They say it was a faulty power grid. Apparently, this has been a problem, these outages, for 8 years or so. Maybe it's time we do a little something for that.
Maybe upgrade the grid?
The island apparently took this huge hit when Hurricane Marla came through in 2017, and it's just not been the same since. I can't imagine that.
You know, I had to do some quick math in my head there. You said 8 years that they've been having this problem, and then you said 2017. I was like, wait.
It's 2025.
No, 2012 is 8 years ago, yeah. Right?
No, you know what, Ethan? It's so interesting you say that because I found myself in the last couple of weeks, maybe because I had a little extra time at home, you know, and some pictures would come up or just even time references. And I thought, there's no way that it was 8 years ago, and it was.
It is just mind-boggling. It is the new year, and that means that new things have entered the public domain and are no longer protected by copyrights. Some of my favorites are now out. Henri Matisse, if we say it properly. Henri Matisse's artwork will now be publicly available. Popeye the Sailor Man, Ernest Hemingway's A Farewell to Arms. The things coming into public domain were published in 1929, or created by artists who passed away in 1954 because the copyrights last for, quote, life plus 70 years. So now those are part of the public domain. If I guess people are waiting for a certain artist in Mexico to come into the public domain, but in Mexico, it's 100 years.
Well, I like the 100 year better. I'll be honest with you. Like,
right?
If I'm someone who wrote, you know, a brilliant American novel or created some art and I pass away and then all of a sudden
70 years
I think it should last longer. And remember, we talked about all this when it came, and I was just referencing this. I was telling my wife about this the other day because you had Winnie the Pooh that came off the, you know, the copyright thing. And then they made that horror movie, remember?
It's a travesty.
Right.
Now, the second season of Squid Game was huge on Netflix already. It set a record for the most views after it came out on December 26th. It apparently had 68 million views worldwide. Fred, you haven't watched it.
No, I haven't.
Ethan?
I watched season one, and it was weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
I couldn't really get. I didn't even make it through the storyline. Weird. Yeah, I probably won't watch it either.
Well, I found that kind of amazing then that 68 million people. And then. 68 million views, and then I realized, oh, it's worldwide. So that's why.
That does make a difference.
It does.
Along those lines, and I don't know if you guys ever heard about this because you were working last week. I had this question about Netflix on Christmas Day. The numbers were very impressive. You're talking 23 to 28 million people, but did they have that available? So if I'm a Netflix user and I'm in Sri Lanka or something like that, right?
Can I get that there?
I don't know.
A very good question.
My guess would be no, because then the numbers would probably be higher than 25 million.
Oh, that's probably true.
Know.
Yeah, that's probably true. By the way, the previous record holder had been the streamer Wednesday into 2022. That had 50.1 million people.
Now, I just recently watched that one. I was never really into it at the time, but I gave it a shot just in passing. Oh, you know, something to watch while I'm doing some
work.
Yeah,
it's not bad.
I actually really enjoyed it. Yeah. Jenna Ortega was phenomenal.
She was phenomenal.
I watched
the first couple episodes, and I really liked it, and you just kind of reminded me that I never went back. I did, by the way, over the course of the last 10 days, and I was mentioning this to Sue off the air, I watched a lot of entertainment, TV and movies, some films that have not been released yet, and I'm going to run some of those down with Paul Hall tomorrow because there were some good things that I would recommend for sure.
Oh, that's cool. The original Squid Game still stands as the most streamed show for Netflix ever. I mean, ever. All right. Former President Jimmy Carter's national funeral will be held next Thursday. They announced that. He's going to have a state funeral. Joe Biden ordered that. And American flags will be at half staff for 30 days. The stages of the state funeral, which I did not really know how that works, so here's the deal. There's one in Plains, Georgia. Then his casket goes to Atlanta and the Carter Center and eventually the U.S. Capitol in the Rotunda, and then the state funeral at the National Cathedral on the 9th. Then his body goes back to Plains. He'll be buried next to Rosalind after a private service.
I was told, and I never follow this advice, if you can't say something nice, don't say it. So I'm just going
to
keep my thoughts to myself.
I can say this. I enjoyed the tour of Plains, Georgia.
Okay.
When I went down
there. I remember you did that.
Yeah. It was great.
That's interesting.
I'm sure, you know, embalming and all these things are so, are really updated with today. But that's a long time.
It is.
It's a long time for a dead body.
But, again, embalming.
Technology.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
He was the only president that I ever interviewed. It was not one-on-one, but he came to Stevens College when I was at Mizzou and did an event, and I had the opportunity to ask him a couple of questions. Yes. I always mentioned the thing about Jimmy Carter, this is what I will say seriously, that always kind of stuck with me. Two guys like this, and I'm not trying to make the... I'm not trying to compare them, right? But there were two guys that the eyes were just, man, unbelievable. Jimmy Carter's piercing blue eyes. Like the eye, when you saw him in person. And then that weird, bizarre, idiot Fred Phelps in Kansas. Remember the anti-gay guy? Remember him, Fred Phelps? God Hates Fags, that guy?
Yeah.
He was... I interviewed him, too. He was pure evil. There was something about that guy. Whoa. I'm not saying Jimmy Carter was pure evil. I want to make it clear. No. I'm just commenting about his eyes.
Your friend Scott Jennings had some comments as well on Jimmy Carter.
I could play them right now if you'd like to hear them, but it goes to the if you can't say anything nice. I'll save it for later.
All right, fair enough. There's a fascinating story out on visualcapitalist.com revealing that there are 15 trademark scents, smells, S-C-E-N-T-S in the U.S. Now, how do you do that? Well, there are two major criteria. Number one, the odor cannot be the main purpose of the product, so it can't be air freshener. It has to be so distinct that consumers connect the smell with the product without question.
Like natural gas comes to mind.
Right. Except,
of course, microwave popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
My grandparents' house.
Nice.
Well, of the 15, you'll recognize a few. One is the smell of Play-Doh.
Oh, yeah.
That
specific
odor is owned by Hasbro.
Mm-hmm.
Other stuff I didn't know. There's a company called Storm Products that makes bowling balls and has trademarked a mint odor associated with them. Have you ever used that one, Fred?
No.
I haven't either. Something called Hoppy's Number 9 is a trademarked banana and evergreen scented gun bore cleaner. How about that?
Wow.
And there's a bubblegum scent that Grendene owns for their shoes, some coconut-smelling sandals from Seoul Imports, just random stuff. The most recognizable is Play-Doh. And I don't know, do you go after someone if they get something that smells next to it?
That's just weird.
It's just
bizarre. You better be careful with that smell. It's smelling a little bit rubber-like. We're coming after you.
And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. The word grima, G-R-I-M-A, describes the feeling you get when you hear fingernails on a chalkboard or a knife scratching a plate. I didn't want to play the audio because nobody wants to hear that. And that's it for Sue's News.
I've never heard that, though. I like
that.
Grima. That's very interesting.
It could be Grima, but I thought that'd be weird. Wouldn't it be Grima?
Yeah, I'm going
Thank
with Grima
you.
For sure.
That.
Hey, we'll come back with Jane Duker talking about a variety of things, including a decision by an appeals court about our new prosecutor in St. Louis County, but also the shooting yesterday downtown at the Wheelhouse where Joe Buck's restaurant used to be. It's coming up. Well, I made an executive decision earlier today that I'm just not going to get enough of Jane Duker. And how can you have enough of Jane Duker tomorrow on the roundtable? So I invited her in this segment because... sadly, there's a bunch of things, you know, related to downtown, Jane, that we need to talk about. Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year. Hey, you can't have a holiday in the city of St. Louis without some sort of anarchy.
Well, I want to get to the shooting in a second, but did you see the story that just cleared on the Business Journal about Channel 5?
Yes.
They are moving out of downtown.
And what I find fascinating is the extensive discussion about crime. And how they have to have a parking garage. I mean, that's obviously been a problem, but, you know, they have safety issues, just like everybody else downtown. And so I'm not surprised. You know, they say they've been talking to the mayor, but I don't know what the mayor is going to offer. But, you know, it's ongoing.
Well, they're right down here, not too far from where we are, you know, east of City Hall on Market Street. I think a lot of people know where Channel 5 is. They've been there for 40 years. They own that building. I didn't know that. the message from the GM over there was that they plan to still be in the city. Now, obviously, there's other opportunities, but not downtown. So,
they have not been disclosed. Yep, right. They haven't disclosed that yet, but interesting.
All right, let's go to yesterday morning. You got all this craziness, Jane, that's happening. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. It's at the Wheelhouse, which used to be Joe Buck's restaurant right there, not too far from Busch Stadium. And people are, you know, having a good time at 3 in the morning, and there's fights that are breaking out. And then there's gunshots.
Oh,
in the middle of all this, there you go. And there's much of this caught on video as well. Now, the actual shooting, the camera had kind of panned over. Citizens for Greater Downtown St. Louis had posted this on social media yesterday. So what, or actually, I think it was earlier today. So what do you make of what happened in the shooting? And one of the things that's confusing is this whole aspect of an off-duty cop that was involved.
Yes. Well, they, you know, this is, people are hiring all kinds of security that isn't SLMPD because, you know, there's not enough officers. I mean, it's New Year's Eve. There right. should be plenty of patrols downtown where there are humans, and there's just not. And so now businesses and other people have to determine they get their own security. So what they do is they go out and find off-duty cops to come and patrol for them because we don't have sufficient policing.
From what you saw in that video, though, was that a shooting that is justifiable?
Because
I don't know what happened. I'm not saying it wasn't, but things happened very quickly, and then he kind of unloads a few more times on the guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, officers are trained to neutralize a threat. And if this guy pulls out a gun in the middle of a fight, I don't think it's unreasonable to think that this person may keep going. And, I mean, you're in the middle of anarchy. You're in the middle of a melee. You have no idea whether this is a concerted, some sort of concerted attack. I mean, I think it's going to be difficult to say that it's not justified given, you know, what we saw.
But do we know that the guy that was shot and killed, do we know that he had a gun? Is that something that's confirmed?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I was unclear on that.
He pulled a gun.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
I mean,
he pulled a gun.
Then you got a reason to shoot him. Sure.
Yeah. And when, you know, it's, you know, 20 people to one, you know, you certainly don't want one guy having a gun.
But how about the reaction of the other people on that video? There's people that are laughing. Now, I know that alcohol is involved early on New Year's morning, but it was almost completely nonchalant that someone's getting shot in the middle of the street.
Yeah. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, this stuff is that common. And that is the culture that we've created for the last decade, is that, you know, shootings are just, you know, normal, and anarchy is normal. I mean, seriously, how can we not get through a holiday in the city of St. Louis without something like that happening? I mean, that is an embarrassment for our city. And it's terrible. And yes, you had people laughing when somebody got shot.
Has Tish and her administration said anything about this at all?
No, of course not. I don't even know if she's in town.
No,
I mean,
probably not.
She could be on vacation. And so I don't know. But somebody should come out and say this is wrong. A lot of people want to blame the bar and it's the bar's fault. And you know what? Maybe they need more security. But the Jones administration will shut down a gas station as soon as look at them for alleged crime. I mean, if this bar is a nuisance, then the city should be doing something about it. But you can't fail to police and fail to determine whether these places are dangerous. I mean, if this bar is dangerous, then they need to do something.
Well, you know what? It's interesting about this location because, Sue, you and I were talking about it. And I think there was an assumption when I first saw this yesterday, too. I thought, oh, this is Wash Avenue for sure. Because
that's what I thought
we've
originally.
Seen things happen. Well, it's not Wash
Very
Avenue.
Very similar.
Right. Now, you know, this is this area. Look, this is exactly the route that I take, you know, between here and the ballpark when I'm going to a game. And, you know, I made the decision to stay here because I'm cheap and park in our parking lot, and that decision probably isn't very safe moving forward. The other story today that's breaking, Jane, and we'll talk about all this on the roundtable tomorrow. We'll be joined by former State Senator Jeff Smith, and also tomorrow on the roundtable, current State Senator Nick Schwer. But State Appeals Court has upheld a ruling that gives Mike Parson, the governor, at least for a little bit longer, the power to appoint the next St. Louis County prosecutor. So what's the update on this afternoon?
Well, I mean, this swearing in of Melissa Smith is scheduled for tomorrow at 11 a.m. So I think people are moving forward with her appointment. Of course, Paige is appealing to the Missouri Supreme Court. I think that's a fool's errand. I would be shocked if the Supreme Court even picked this case up.
Jane, let's go backwards just a little bit, just to explain so people might know exactly what happened here. Wesley Bell's leaving for Congress. He's no longer going to be the St. Louis County prosecutor. He and Sam Page, although Wesley says this was not a coordinated effort, name a new St. Louis County prosecutor. Then the governor says, well, I'm going to name the new St. Louis County prosecutor. There, as you have indicated, seems to be a little discrepancy maybe in the law as far as who is in charge. And now the courts have kind of ruled that the governor has that role, right?
Absolutely. And they were very unequivocal. It was 3-0, 2 Democrats, 1 Republican. Voted that it was a state's job because the prosecutor is primarily a state officer, and that's what they ruled. And so I don't know why we're still fighting about this.
But he says he's still going to appeal this, Paige?
Yes.
what a waste of...
Because it's not his money. Apparently it's not. And so they're going to go to the Missouri Supreme Court, and I would imagine we may know something either even tonight or even before the swearing in tomorrow, where they probably deny transfer. But then we still have, remember, you know, we still have all the Wesley Bell legacy stuff with the Dennis Hancock quo warranto.
Okay, so this is, I want to circle back to this because this happened during the period that I was out over Christmas. What in the hell is going on with that? So let's kind of back up on this. You got a St. Louis County councilman who's my councilman, Dennis Hancock, goes into office, replaces Tim Fitch. He tries to hire his stepdaughter. But then there's a question about the paperwork. And then a week before Christmas, we find out that a grand jury has heard testimony about the clerk of St. Louis County. And she's then accused of a felony and then charged with a felony for manipulating the paperwork. So what is the actual
allegedly
truth here?
Allegedly manipulating.
Right. No, I understand.
Well, there was all she did was reject the employment. She had been told that it was unconstitutional. The girl who was attempted to be hired said, I don't want this job. I don't want the employment. I don't want to be paid. So all she did was pest reject, which is her job because she's like the HR person for the council. So, but guess what? Nobody can find those charges filed in CaseNet. So don't know if it's real. Wesley Bell had this big, they served her on Christmas Eve, which was really low.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and then Wesley Bell had this, you know, this press conference where he supposedly had all this evidence about what was done, and they haven't even filed the charges. And a big problem they have is the woman that they were using who went in and went before the grand jury has no authority as a prosecutor. None. And so they have major problems. So the legacy of what he has left, that was the colluding of Sam Page, was trying to orchestrate getting rid of Dennis Hancock to somehow give him a better chance to get his person in.
But doesn't he still, you know, because he issued a statement. We were here during that final roundtable a couple of weeks ago where he said there's no collusion. Was he indicating, he still is indicating that they didn't collude on that particular aspect of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, he just did that on his own. Even though you have, like, the director of health who hired her daughter, worked all summer, gave her a raise, they're not doing a quo warranto on that. Somebody who actually did work for months and did get a raise from, you know, her mother. You know, no quo for that. No quo for Sam Page for doing his side hustle at SSM or SLU Hospital. No. Only a quo for Dennis. Yeah, only quo for Dennis Hancock. So, I mean, you know, don't tell me there wasn't collusion there. And they really don't want to have that conversation. I mean, they don't want discovery. I can guarantee you that.
Wow. And then, again, we should mention that on this whole issue with the clerk, there wasn't one member of the council that thought that bringing criminal charges was a wise idea. Even the progressive nutcases didn't agree with that. Jane, we're going to have a fun roundtable tomorrow, first roundtable of 2025.
See you tomorrow,
guys. We'll see you then. Dave Murray's coming up. We're going to talk about the winter blast heading our way. All right, we will have our first audio cut of the year, audio cut of the day coming up at 5:45. I have a lot of options from the coverage today from the terrorist attacks in Las Vegas and in New Orleans, so that's coming up in the next hour. Also, Dwayne Patterson, who is awesome, he's going to join us from out on the left coast. He contributes to hotair.com. We'll have the very latest on Mike Johnson, whether or not he's going to still be speaker in 2025. Also, former St. Louis County Police Chief Tim Fitch will kind of react to some of the things that are happening, and I know that he's going to have some strong feelings about the situations that we just, you know, went over in St. Louis County as well with Dennis Hancock. Dave Murray is with us because maybe the biggest story around here is the weather that is heading our way. I heard your forecast earlier, Dave, and you indicated that there's still a fair amount of uncertainty, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, the storm itself is still out in the Pacific. It hasn't even reached the northwest coast yet. It will come over the Rockies, kind of get torn up, as they all do, and then reform somewhere in the Central Plains. And until that energy package gets over the Rockies, we don't have an exact – we have a pretty good idea of timing, I think, right now. But I don't think we have a great example of where the rain, snow, ice lines will be. But I'm starting to lay them out, you know, just because it's the end of the holiday period and folks are traveling and right. there's a lot of interest in it. So you want all the details?
Yeah, let's get into it. Let's see what's going to happen here. We want the details. Yep.
All right. Okay. Now, I'm going to skip the weather tonight. We have a weak little system coming by. Nothing to worry about. Tomorrow's fine. Saturday is fine. There is a winter storm watch in effect from 6 p.m. Saturday night till 6 a.m. Monday morning. Track of the storm is key, and that, again, is not in focus. We should start to see a mix of sleet and freezing rain and snow after midnight Saturday night. Then a mix of snow, sleet, freezing rain, and even the shot of a little bit of liquid rain in play all day on Sunday, but that would be somewhat limited. A changeover to all snow on the backside of the system late Sunday afternoon till about midnight Sunday night. Storm pulls away rather quickly early Monday. There will be this fine line of snow, a mix of snow, sleet, and freezing rain, and then just freezing rain and sleet. Right now, I'm thinking here in St. Louis, by midnight Sunday night, we'll see about 5 inches of snow and ice. South of St. Louis, let's think DeSoto, Sparta, Mount Vernon line. South of that, it's mainly a sleet and freezing rain event, so some real ice concerns. Oof. And then north of St. Louis, Columbia, Ellsbury to Carlinville, mainly an all snow with some sleet, but mainly snow. And north of that line, Columbia, Ellsbury, Carlinville could see up to 10 inches of snow. But there's still a lot of fine tuning to be done on this. Let's stay up to date and we'll check back in tomorrow.
Bring it on. I say I'm ready for a good snowfall.
I know Sue is already panicking about Monday morning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, Dave. Here's the thing. Snow, okay. All right. Ice. Ice is evil.
Yeah.
I'm
ice
with
is
you.
Evil. There's no question. Yeah. And it's just what St. Louis gets most of the time. You know, 9 out of 10 of these systems are a mix. And it just has to do with warm air coming up over the cold air coming up from the Gulf of Mexico. The real cold air of the storm is behind the storm. And that's when I think we'll see that changeover to snow on the backside. So we're always right in the middle of the field. I can, you know, over the last almost 50 years, I would say clear-cut all-snow situations, maybe 5 or 6 of them in 50 years. Wow. Otherwise, it's all a mix of stuff.
So how would you describe the what word would I use? Like the width of the storm. So if you're talking about St. Louis is going to get hit, I talked to my sister in Chicago today. I don't think they're in the path of this, right?
No, they're not going to see much. They'll see a little bit of light snow. That's about it. And you get down towards Little Rock, and it's going to be mainly rain.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. I like a good winter storm every once in a while. I know my daughter's excited because it looks like there might not be school on Monday. I was kind of hoping this was going to move in a little bit earlier on Monday, though, just because then you'd have time to play in the snow, perhaps.
I
like to play
that.
In the snow. I do. I get out
well,
there a little bit.
Just remember, enjoy the weather. It's the only weather we get.
That's right. All right, Dave, thank you very much.
All right, guys.
And in all honesty, Sue, as we leave, let Dave go, it really... The Christmas weather wasn't too bad, right?
I mean, no, it wasn't.
We had some days
but
there were some. I got the dogs out a couple of times where it was relatively comfortable. The problem was is that everything was still soggy from rain. Like what I have to deal with my dog Duke, he likes to run and chase the ball. Just getting him out for a walk doesn't really do it. But we have this. I think I've talked to you about this common ground at the end of my block, and we throw the ball. And then when I get him back into my car, I realize, he's got mud everywhere, unfortunately. So it's just been kind of muddy and packed down, but I'm ready for a little winter weather, right?
I wouldn't mind a little. It's just the ice, Mark.
I know. I hate it, too. And we've had, instances here in St. Louis. I remember I was on that road that one Friday night of that ice storm, what was it, 10 years ago, and I was in the car for 5 hours.
Oh, that was so bad.
It was really bad. And that was one.
5 hours. Mark, that is outrageous.
Well, so I left, you know, that was interesting too, because I think it was the day, it was either that day or the day before that, I think it was that day that Joe Buck came in and he had written his book. And I had a rear-wheel drive car at the time, and I had a four-wheel drive car. And I did not bring my four-wheel drive car that day. And because if you remember correctly, it wasn't supposed to be
icy. No, it wasn't.
So I left late from the station. We get off at 6. I was working at Camo X. I remember taking a little bit of time thinking, okay, are the roads going to be okay? I glided down Tucker, and I get to, I finally get to 44. No, it was 55 because I was living somewhere else. I get to 55, and 55 was actually okay. And I kind of get down. But then when I got off at 141, I'm sliding all over the place. I pull into this gas station, and I'm afraid to drive. And I had Joe's book, and I just sat there in the parking lot of the gas station. I read his book that
night. There you go.
Right.
It's not a bad place to be.
But to your point, with the ice, and I think that we've all kind of been in situations like this, you can kind of lose a little control in snow and navigate your way back into a little bit of control with the car. I'm not saying it's recommended,
but
you kind of have a little bit more a grip, if you will, with snow, especially if you have a four-wheel drive car. But with ice, there's no control. You can do nothing.
Yeah, right? Four-wheel drive does not help you.
And then you see cars that are, you know, swinging across the entire roadway.
Oh, it's so scary.
And you do know, you know, very quickly, this is what we realized, and I think we saw this a couple of weeks ago with that blast of snow we got. And I know people are challenged during Bidenomics, but you see cars out there that don't have any, you know, tread on their tires. They are maybe rear-wheel drive cars, and they're slipping and sliding everywhere. So not a safe situation. Dwayne Patterson coming up here in just a little bit after the break. We're going to talk about some politics with him, Mike Johnson, and whether or not he's going to last as speaker. And I do have a couple of little updates on that tomorrow, or tonight, rather, because I checked in with Bob Onder. Bob Onder is the newest member of Congress from this area, of course, in St. Charles County and beyond all the way into Boone County, replacing Blaine Lukemeyer. He's kind of a Freedom Caucus-y type of guy. He was certainly involved in that group in the Missouri Senate. So I checked with him just to see if he was going to support Mike Johnson. And I mentioned this earlier. He did respond and said, yes, he's voting for Johnson. Congressman Onder's response was not happy with the CR debacle that, you know, occurred a couple of weeks ago right before Christmas, but think we need to choose our team and get to work. And I think that President Trump feels that way as well, and that's why he's backed Speaker Johnson. When I left on Christmas Eve, and I'm laying down a bet, maybe I probably would have bet that Johnson wasn't going to survive. It does look like right now that he is going to survive, but we'll have to see. Tom Massey from Kentucky is a definitive holdout. I think when we talk with Dwayne here after the top of the hour, he'll describe Mr. Massey, Congressman Massey, as the new Matt Gaetz, because that's essentially what he's doing. And then I mentioned Tim Fitch is coming up just a little bit later. We'll talk about what happened in New Orleans and in Las Vegas, the lack of the proper bollard positioning. That's become an issue. The Tesla that exploded outside of the Trump Hotel in Las Vegas. And then he's going to have interesting responses because he was on the county council. He's also the former St. Louis County police chief to the situation that we have here with Wesley Bell and Dennis Hancock. I got to tell you, Sue, and we'll talk about this more on the roundtable, that whole deal with the clerk and charging her with a felony
outrageous.
Is the most baffling thing. And I think it's outrageous, too. But whenever something like this happens, I can't help but thinking, what am I missing?
Right.
There's got to be something more to this story. Because if there is nothing more to this story, I read the account from 2 days ago, or maybe it was even, you know, I'm losing track of time, because I texted Jane over the break, and I'm like, what in the world is going on here? You got the people in, you know, the Page administration and Wesley Bell's office saying, oh, you know, they're trying to allege that this was some massive cover-up of some sort. For her to get served on Christmas Eve, also an interesting angle. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And to Jane's point, and I think that, you know, Chief Fitch will kind of echo this sentiment too, there's been so many different things that have happened in this administration in the last 4 years to raise questions about legality. This is the one they want to focus on because it's Sam Page and Wesley Bell trying to manipulate things. The other part of that that's interesting to me, and I don't know, you know, let me ask you this question. Should we try to engage with Wesley Bell here on this radio show? We never did with Cori Bush.
No.
We know, though, we have it confirmed from our friend Doug High, who met Wesley a couple weeks ago. He is a listener to the Mark Reardon Show.
Yeah.
But the reason I bring it up is because he's tried to distance himself from all this as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of in the Jane camp that thinks that how is it possible that he's not been involved? I think his fingers are involved in this. But let's say for argument's sake that he wasn't, that this was just all Sam Page. Well, then it makes it even more confusing.
It does.
Because obviously it had to be part of Wesley because his office was involved.
Correct.
But it is a very confusing story, and it's not a sexy story. It's sort of an inside baseball story, which is why most people won't even pay any attention to that whatsoever. But don't forget, we have a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. All of this we'll be discussing with former State Senator Jeff Smith. Jane will be on the panel, and current State Senator Nick Schroer. I miss Nick. I haven't seen him in a while. He just had a birthday as well. After 5 o'clock, Dwayne Patterson, Chief Fitch, and also Audio Cut of the Day. Hang in there.
Get more at 971talk.com.